welcome back to Rock Your Relationships podcast, sponsored by Knights of Columbus Council 635 at St. Stephen the Martyr Catholic Chapel in Birmingham, Alabama.
Well, this is part two of our series on dating called Date to Win.
Yes, and Chuck, I'm so glad that we're doing this series because in our ministry to college students, we get all the time this question, how do I date? How do I get what I want? Basically, most of our students really are looking forward to a happy, healthy marriage, and they want it to be stable, and they want to have good communication, and they want to have a good love life, and they want to know what steps do I need to take to increase my chances of having that. Sometimes they'll say, how do I have what y'all have? Like, for instance, there was a student that I was having lunch with in the cafeteria on campus, and she was telling me her woes with her boyfriend, and she was complaining about some stuff, and she said that he doesn't really like to party as much, so he's not quite as much fun as some of the other guys that she has the opportunity to date, and that he wanted to talk about serious things. He wanted to talk about, like, life goals and stuff, and she kind of just wanted to be more lighthearted, I guess, and not think about those things. And he didn't really spend his money as much as some of the other guys, and he wanted to save it. And so she was just telling me that it was kind of a bummer that he wasn't quite as cool or quite as fun as some of the other guys, some of the other girls. Her friends had boyfriends who were, you know, more cool. And I just listened to her, and I said, you know, yeah, that does sound like not exactly a great boyfriend. And she nodded. Then I said, but sounds like a really good husband. And then I asked her, so what are you shopping for, a boyfriend or a husband? And she said, that's a really good question. And a few months later, they were engaged. And we follow them on Facebook, and they are a happy family and doing great.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's so important to know what your goals are
right.
with this. I mean, people, if you're just messing around when you're dating, then it's like the old saying, if you, what is it, if you shoot for nothing? I can't remember. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. If you aim for nothing, you'll hit it every time.
Yeah, right.
That kind of thing.
Shoot for the stars and you might hit the roof.
The moon.
The moon. Okay.
Yeah, those old sayings.
Right.
But absolutely, you have to have goals when it comes to
dating. Right, you have to know what you're shopping for.
What are you doing? Like, I like how you put that. What are you shopping for?
Yeah, if I'm looking for fine china, I'm not going to go to Dollar Tree. But if I'm just looking for something cheap that's just going to last for one party, that's exactly where I'm going to go. But I'm not going to shop for paper plates and then expect them to last a lifetime.
So when we think about what is the goal, I mean, obviously for people who are dating, many times the goal is marriage. Sometimes
right.
that's not the goal. Sometimes people just want to have fun with it.
Yeah.
And there's actually a place for that. I mean, to, mm-hmm. to just enjoy meeting people, there's a time and space for that.
Right.
And when you're dating intentionally, that can and should be fun too. When you're married, you should date
yes.
and have fun together, right? So none of this is being intentional doesn't cancel out fun.
Right.
It should all be fun. And being intentional can help you have the fun without the pain. And that's what mm-hmm. we're all about.
Mm-hmm.
So when we think about the goal, the Apostle Paul gives us a good guide here. So if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and Paul is talking about running the race. He loves athletic metaphors. He says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. So when we talk mm-hmm. about date to win, mm-hmm. what's the prize that we're talking about winning? Well, marriage is something along the way. It's
right.
not the ultimate prize.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you show up and have the big fancy wedding, for those who do that, and it seems like lots and lots of people want that, right? That's
right.
the prize.
The dream wedding.
And then everything's a letdown after that, right?
right?
So people have to have two or three of these weddings. And it seems like what, you know, the celebrity trend these days is the multiple weddings because they
yeah.
just can't make the relationships
yeah.
last. That's not the prize.
Right.
marriage itself isn't even the prize. What's the prize?
Holiness.
That's right.
Heaven, sainthood.
That's what Paul is talking about.
Happiness, fulfillment in Christ.
All those good things.
I could go on and on.
You could. It's all part of that package of holiness.
Right. Yeah.
And that eternal relationship with God.
Joy, making your joy complete.
And so, if that is our ultimate goal, for those people who are called into whatever our vocational call is, whether it's into the religious life or into marriage, either way, both of those vocations are aiming at the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. And even if you are living a celibate life, meaning like you're religious or you're just unmarried, you're going to be hanging out with people and people of the opposite sex. And you want to be able to enjoy those people. Right. I mean, so it's not like marriage is the only end.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, basically what we're going to talk about in this series, the kinds of things that we're going to recommend ultimately, even if someone's called into the religious life, you want to have dated prior to that, receiving that calling in such a way that's going to make you a better priest, that's going to make you a better sister.
Right. You know? What if you become a priest and you see your old girlfriend from before you took your vows? You want to have not traumatized her in the transition. You know, you want to think that you treated her respectfully and that she is closer to holiness, just like you are closer to holiness, both of you, because of your relationship.
Absolutely. So there's a couple key words in this verse. One is where it talks about that there's a prize, right?
Yes.
The word prize there signifies that goal, which we've already said is holiness.
Mm-hmm.
Another key word in this verse is training. So that you don't just get to the prize. I mean, you don't just show up and run the race and expect that you win. If I were going to run in the Mercedes Marathon that happens here in Birmingham, and I decide, you know, I've been exercising, I've been working out a little bit, I think I'll go win the Mercedes Marathon.
Uh-huh.
It would be foolish, right? Like,
right.
I don't run marathons. I've never done one before.
Right.
I don't have the little sticker on the back of my car. So it would be foolish of me to show up and expect a win. I've got to train for years to get to the point where I think I would be able to win or even finish. You know, I've got to train. I would not finish a marathon right now. Maybe I'd limp across, but you could carry me.
Yeah.
But so the training piece is really important. And so a fundamental truth about human beings is that we're always training. Like, everything we do, the people we interact with, the things that we take in, what we watch on television, what we listen to, who we hang out with, all of that is training us for the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
We are always in training on earth. And so if you are dating at, you know, in middle school and high school and college, you're not just dating, you're training for whatever comes next.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we're saying, not just preparation for marriage, but preparation for whatever vocation and for the ultimate goal of holiness.
Yeah.
So it's important wherever you're headed and however, whatever path you take to holiness, that you train in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And so dating to win is all about the prize, which is holiness, and training dating in such a way as to win the prize.
Yeah. Wow. I don't think I had thought before about how we're always training for something. I know that when I was engaged, that I had someone advise me to watch what I practice as a wife. I remember her telling me, whatever you're practicing is the kind of wife you're going to be. So you are creating yourself as a wife, you know, now as you develop your own habits. And, you know, we've been married like, is it 18 years?
I think so, yeah.
A while. And I still think about that sometimes. Like, what am I training my mind and my mouth and my heart to be? What kind of person am I becoming? And it's really the same way in all areas of life.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
And this helps us make sense why. So one of the reasons why a lot of marriages are struggling and why a lot of marriages are failing, even within the church. Now, it is not true that as many marriages fail inside the church as outside the church. You sometimes
you know,
hear that.
Because you're a sociologist.
That's right. It's what I do for a living. So
yes.
I know those numbers aren't right. For people who faithfully attend church, those folks are much less likely to get divorced.
Right.
But we still know those people, right? I mean, it's still happening way more than it should.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why marriages fail, even inside the church, is because we didn't train properly.
Yeah.
We showed up to the Mercedes Marathon thinking we were going to, hey, we got here. We arrived. I'm at the start line, right?
Right.
People think
I
got to
marriage.
And I'm in a
dress and you're in a tux.
And so I won. But that's not the, you know, getting the wedding is not the finish line.
Right.
It's the start line. And if you've trained improperly in those days, if you've dated in a way that's bad, you know, you've trained badly, then you're going to show up thinking you're going to win, and you're not. You're not going to make it. You're not even going to finish.
Mm-hmm.
So here's one kind of wrong way of doing it happens a lot in the church. And then I'm going to talk about the cultural model, what most people out there are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So in the church, we've known a lot of students. We sort of tried this as well. Sometimes when we say, well, you've got to prepare yourself for marriage when you're dating, that you're always training, a misconception there is that you ought to act like you're in a mini, M-I-N-I, marriage when you're dating, right? So so our dating relationship should look like little marriages or pre-marriages, and that's actually pretty bad.
Yeah, that could be really unhealthy.
And we'll talk later about what's wrong with that, why that's not the right way to do things.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just a little teaser that sometimes in the church we think that's what we would think that's what training means.
Mm-hmm.
Act like you're married when you're dating, and that's not it at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about virtue. Something the church has talked about for forever is that we should build ourselves up in the virtue. So whatever we do when we're dating, we should be building virtues that will last. Virtues that will help us in marriage, virtues that will help us in the religious life, virtues that will help us be holy. So that's what we should be doing when we're training. All right, so what does the world give us? What's the worldly pattern? Let's say you meet, sparks fly, you know, the butterflies are in your stomach, the magic's in the air, the birds and the frogs are singing, kiss the girl, you know, that kind of thing, and the crab, Sebastian, whatever his name is.
That's pretty good, you remember that.
So what happens next? In the cultural model, what you see on the sitcoms, what you see in the movies, what you watch on Netflix. I mean, what's the pattern after you meet and sparks fly?
Well, it depends on which channel you're watching.
That's good. What it's rated.
What it's rated. But, you know, there's the classic, first the sparks fly, and then there's the awkward, oh, he finds out I like him, and then there's the will they or won't they, and then they go to bed together, and then, you know, one of them hopes that the other one will come back, and then they do, and then, I don't know, they go off into the sunset or something.
Yeah, I mean, so much in our culture is just jumping in the sack right away. That's where things start in a relationship.
Yeah.
So remember what we talked about in the first installment of The Date to Win was intimacy. Principles of intimacy. Touch is obviously one of those. So if you take intimacy to the top right away, you know, you're going into that deepest level of intimacy. One of the other principles was that intimacy wants commitment. And anytime intimacy gets ahead of commitment, you've got insecurity.
Yeah, but commitment isn't as interesting on TV. So they don't really talk so much about that part. And then, you know.
It's always about the tension, right? The romantic
tension. And then once the tension gets dull, then you have to change partners, you know, to keep it interesting.
Virtue just doesn't play very well on television or in the movies, does it?
No, it's too interior, yes.
And so many things get depicted as the, you know, even Shakespeare, the wedding is the end of the story. But what happens in so much the sort of the prescription is, hey, you meet someone, you think that this person, you know, is interesting. So what do you do? Well, let's kick the tires. Let's test it out. Let's go for a test drive. And how do you do that? You do it by basically you ratchet up the intimacy on time, talk, and touches. And you continue to do that until what?
Either you get married or you break up.
Exactly. I mean, those are the paths, right? I mean, either it's time for a ring and you're getting engaged, so you get more and more intimate, or we're arguing and fighting too much, or he's just not interesting anymore, or she's just not interesting, whatever it is, and you break up.
Or you could move in together.
Which
nowadays.
Is just another step on the way to breaking up, statistically.
Or getting married.
But
I know statistically it's much more likely that you break up after living together than get married.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I know that from reading your research.
So let's say you break up. Mm-hmm. Then, well, I still think I want to be married one day. What's the next step?
Well, you have to get over it, I guess, and then find somebody else.
Yeah, and some people will take a break, long breaks, right. And some people it's the rebound person, and it's pretty fast when you're in a relationship again. But however you get there, you find somebody else, and you follow mm-hmm. the same pattern. You ratchet up the intimacy, you try them out, you take them on a test drive, and then either you end up engaged or you get tired of that person, it's just not working out, we've fallen out of love, and you break up.
Right, yeah.
And if you still want to be married, well, you've got some scars now. But
yeah.
What are you supposed to do?
You have to move on.
You have to move on.
Get over it and move on.
You have, uh-huh. There's different ways in which people talk about it. But ultimately, you find that next person. Hope rises again. This could be it. So what do? To figure out if this person is the one? You ratchet up the intimacy. You mm-hmm. do the same thing again. And the pattern goes on and on. You ratchet up the intimacy until either the person and the timing just come together. And you're able to get along for long enough to get to engagement, or you break up.
Right, but by that point, you're kind of wounded, so you have to find someone now who can help heal your past wounds, not just love you for who you are.
Exactly. So you, yeah, at that
point,
it gets
complicated, more and more complicated.
Yeah, I mean, you may be not, you're not actually dating the person who's in front of you at that point. You're dating the person through the lens of three or four other people who you've previously dated and the scars that come with them. So you find someone who's not going to hurt you in those same ways, or if they do, it causes a breakup. But here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how we talked about training?
Yeah.
We're always training. So when you develop a behavioral pattern that is to ratchet up the intimacy with someone, to raise the level of intimacy, and then when the going gets tough, when things get too hard, when it hurts too much, you break it off,
mm-hmm.
and you do that two or three times, you've basically written a code or a habit in your spirit.
Yeah.
And so the cultural model for dating that we just talked about, I think, is like divorce training. You almost couldn't come up with a better way to train your soul, to train your spirit,
right.
to be prepared for divorce. Because what's going to happen when you get in marriage? At some
right.
point, the going's going to get tough.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, what have you trained yourself to do?
Get going.
That's right. To get out. Right,
right.
To exit.
Oh, wow. And then the breakup is just worse because it's divorce, which is much harder to handle and more complicated. Hurts more people, too.
Right. So, I mean, you know something about, like, workout programs. There's a ton of different workout programs out there you can do, and people will compare them and say, well, you shouldn't do this workout program, whatever it is, because you're going to get – you're more likely to get injured. Or you shouldn't try this workout program because it focuses too much on cardio and not enough on strength training. There's all sorts of philosophies of workout mm-hmm. training, depending on what your goals are
okay.
that you're trying to reach. And so if your goal is to get divorced – this is a great program. If
oh.
you want to prepare yourself to one day have a wrecked marriage, then the cultural model for dating is a great program for that.
This is for you.
That's right. So there has to be a better way, right?
Yikes.
There has to be a better way. So does it work sometimes, what I'm calling the divorce training model? It does work sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But we can do so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you take a workout program that was developed in the 1950s, back when they had those machines that were like a band that like vibrated your bottom or whatever, and like that was state of the art. Why would you use one of those when we've got much better equipment, when we've got much better training models that we could use?
Yeah. I don't know why we would do that.
it's not smart, right? So
we
can do better and we should do right. better. So we'll talk in later in this series about what you should do.
Okay, everyone. Well, thanks for joining us for the second installment of Date to Win. Remember, don't just date to win. I'll see you next time.